On today's episode, you'll hear from photographer Grant Daniels of Grant Daniels Photography. He's a local wedding photographer who has shot over 500 weddings all over the world and been featured in Vogue Weddings, Martha Stewart Weddings, and locally 360 West magazine. You'll hear insight into how he got started and what inspires his photography style.
Yeah, a little bit about myself. I'm Fort Worthian. I have been living in the city for almost 8 years now. Born and raised around the Austin area, and kind of moved around a little bit growing up, but eventually landed at Texas A&M, where mm-hmm. I met my wife and started my business in school. So, you know, my freshman, sophomore year, I kind of was directionless and was like, where do I go in life? I'd never had a thing like mm-hmm. growing up that I was exceptional at. Like I did some sports and music, but then was always searching for like what my purpose and what my thing was going to be. And I somehow stumbled into photography. I had a really influential mm-hmm. photography teacher that I met and was, you know, mentored by, and that changed the trajectory of my life as a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And figured out I could monetize this thing called photography, started my business, very entrepreneurial. And then mm-hmm. When I arrived at A&M, I decided I wanted to take that further. And so I actually promised myself I'd never shoot a wedding because there was so much, you know, there's so many cliches around weddings. I'm like, I don't want to be in that category. Of photographer.
Yeah.
Photographer. And so, but I ended up kind of connecting with a local photographer in College Station, and he invited me in to shoot a wedding or to second shoot a wedding under him, and realized that I could bring my own voice into wedding photography. And that's what just launched this trajectory of the past almost 12 years of mm-hmm. shooting weddings. And so, yeah, met at A&M, graduated, moved to Fort Worth to be closer to family, who's now in DFW, and mm-hmm. have two kids and one on the way. And
nice.
That's kind of where I'm at now.
So. Yeah. In your early years, what do you think it was about photography that was something that drew you in, that kept you like interested in evolving as a photographer?
Yeah, good question. I would say really two things, and they still keep me, you know, I would say like attached to photography today. And the first is it's a very technical medium. I'm a technical person. Growing up, I would take things apart and put them back together. Mm-hmm. Just common household electronics, or a few times my mom would pick up an old radio, and I just would love to tinker.
Yeah.
And so the technical aspect of photography was something that always drew me in. Like I can have mastery over something that's technical. That's a really cool thing. And then the second part of photography is, and I guess there's three, but really the second is being able to express yourself in a way that is unique. And it's the first time someone's ever expressed it that way.
Yeah.
Photography, you know, you make something that's new, and you are a part of creating mm-hmm. and being a part of creation to create something and put it out into the world and to say, this is my version of X, right?
It's an art form.
Yeah. And, I love that. I loved the novelty of being able to do that. And then the third, and this is what still to this day pushes my work forward, is looking and being inspired by photographers of the past. You know, I started on analog and I shot film, and I learned the darkroom, and I learned how to shoot film and develop film and enlarge it. And that, to me, being able to kind of have this connection to history.
Yeah.
Photographers that started their own journeys of photography and evolved, and being able to study them and be inspired by those who came before me and who have honored and kept this medium sacred over the years,
mm-hmm.
man, that kept me just pulled in. I couldn't let go. And so, yeah, as my journey has progressed, obviously the weight of those has changed in
right.
some ways. Like I still love the technical, but I'm less concerned with the technical and more concerned now with my yeah. voice. And
I feel like once you've mastered the camera, the technical side, it's more about the art now, and
yeah.
and the
less about
creation,
the
right? Because yeah. it becomes secondhand nature once you master the camera, the technical side of the camera, to create the art form.
Yeah, and it becomes more nuanced too. I mean, in these days, I'm looking, you know, the light in California hits differently than the light in Texas, hits differently than the light on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And even the way greens are replicated on a film scan, right? Yeah. It's much more nuanced. And that's what is so fascinating is, okay, this light in the hill country, because we're, you know, we're in the hills or whatever atmospherically is going on, the light lingers for longer. It just lingers. And the light in Fort Worth is a lot different. And I'm not, I don't love it, but it's fine. But when you go out to California, man, those guys have it good. When you're on the coast and it's just the soft swells of light that it's just, you see, it feels like the sunset's just going on forever. And once the sun dips below the horizon. And so it's cool to like subdivide these nuances that I thought were pretty easy to master, and you're going, okay, wow, this is way more granular and technical than you ever could imagine. And it goes as deep as you want it to go, right?
Yeah.
So anyways,
that's good point. True. When did you start realizing that photography was something you could do as a business? Were you always entrepreneurial, or was it, you know, in college that people were starting to get married and asking you for your services?
Yeah. So like I said, I started shooting senior photos in high school. Mm-hmm. And just had friends that everyone gets kind of a senior portrait session done. And there was a classic portrait studio in Arlington where I went to high school. And, you know, great portrait studio. But at the time, you know, folks were looking for something different. And I thought, hey, I could bring this to the marketplace. I don't know if I thought that thought, but I knew it in my soul that I could like, okay, I could bring something different.
Yeah.
So I started offering senior photos. I mean, charging $75 kind of thing, you know, just nothing. And just jumping in and getting my feet wet and trying and failing and succeeding. And even now, just like that's a part of being a small business owner is you have to put yourself out there. And if you're not afraid, you're not doing something right. I mean, really, there's always fear and risk. There's always fear and bravery, too. And so you have to be brave and you have to put yourself out there and go, okay, what's the next faithful step to take this idea to the next level? And it's going to be scary. So let's do it. And that's what I did. I started small, right? Started with senior photos.
Yeah.
And that graduated to getting paid more for weddings. And that graduated to getting paid even more for weddings. And then commercial work is kind of woven into that. And I just, it's a journey and you can't be so, you know, I mean, I just have to take it a day at a time is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know? When you started, did you have like the best gear, the best lenses?
Oh no, I was borrowing everything.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Oh yeah, I mean, people were so kind, and which is a part of my ethos now. You got to give back. You have to. And I was meeting with a guy just yesterday, and he's starting out in weddings, and he was just, he's humble and he's hungry to learn. And I'm just like, let's get coffee. And I shared anything, any question he had. I was like, here's the answer to it. Because when I started, I had mentors who were a few, you know, business life stages ahead of me that were like, yeah, borrow that camera. You just come pick it up from my house. You can use it for your session, or I'll share this little nugget of knowledge. And those little, just, you know, those little gifts that were just placed in my lap were, you know, the conduit to which I was able to push forward and grow and save up and buy my own gear. And then that compounds and you get better and you max out that gear and then you buy the next, you know. And so I've, in a way, I've like kind of hit the ceiling now. Like I've got great gear now. There's nothing better out there that I can buy.
Right.
So now it's about mastery of that gear.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, that's why I say I've redirected a little bit of my focus to move away from the technical a little bit and to move more into my voice and mastery of the fine art of photography.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in the world of photography, gear literally comes out every, 3 months? I feel like there's a refresh in the market. Like
we were just talking this morning. I mean, you and I, before the podcast, we're talking about the new MacBooks and
So stuff like that. And it's always like, you know, you're gear hungry, like, oh, do I really need this? And I feel like sometimes that fear of, you know, someone starting out in photography and they're like, oh, I want to start my business, but I only have like a crop sensor camera or a micro four-thirds camera sensor. Like, what am I going to do with this little camera? Like,
I love crop sensor cameras.
That limits, like, people put limits on themselves. Yeah. How did you overcome that? Or did you have in your head, was there that limit? Or how did you overcome that fear of, no, I want to start doing it?
So there's always, I think there's always creative freedom in constraint is what I found. And you mentioned crop sensor. I have a little Fuji right now that I love.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't have this, you know, it doesn't have a the dynamic range of like the Fujifilm GFX that I shoot on, which is a medium format sensor, a large format is what Fuji calls it. But the constraint that I feel when I'm shooting that little Fuji, I have to push myself harder because I know I can't just, you know, shoot from the hip on the exposure and push and pull it and post and recover highlights and push shadows and all that. And so, the best camera is the one you have in your hand. That seriously, I mean, there's an amazing photographer that I follow out west, and he's in California, and he just shoots so much with his iPhone. Like his family, his daily kind of rhythms of life are shot with his iPhone, and they look amazing. And I'm like, what camera? You know, I'm wondering what camera is he shooting with? And I think it's an iPhone 11.
Yeah,
and it's fine. It's great. And so that's the thing that I've been most challenged by the past couple of years is like, your limiting factor is often not your gear. It's your own mindset and how you choose to look at that gear. And do you look at it as a tool, or do you look at it as your, you know, as the means to create better? Is it about the art, or is it about the tool, right?
True.
Some of the best photographers I know use APS-C or just lenses that are just not great, right? And they make amazing art out of it.
Yeah.
That's true. It's what you do with what you have.
Yeah.
Not what you have.
I find it funny. I used to shoot like portraits and stuff like that, and people would come up to me and be like, "Oh, I'd love your camera. Like, can I buy it?" And like they assume that if they buy that camera, they can get the results that you're giving them. And that's not how it works. It's like going to a baker and being like, "Oh, I love your oven. Like, can I bake like you do?"
Yeah. Totally. So. And so much of a great photo is the light, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the light in the moment. That's it. And good light on a bad camera will look 10 times better than bad light in a good camera. Seriously. And I've always wanted to shoot a wedding with an iPhone. I'm like waiting for someone to give me that opportunity. And even as like a second photographer. Because I'll prove it can be done. Like,
it can.
It's not about the camera.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's many genres of photography. What I think you touched a little bit on this, but what was it about, you know, portraits and now, you know, weddings that keeps you in that industry?
That's a good question. Weddings, I often define weddings as like a living, breathing organism. It is, you are at the mercy of the wedding often during the wedding day. Now, of course, there's a certain amount of control and schedule that I inject into the wedding day to give, you know, structure and to provide, like bring calm to chaos. Mm-hmm. But what I love about weddings is that you are largely responding to these external stimuli or emotions or circumstances that you don't have control over.
Yeah.
And your job is to make a decision, a compositional decision, a technical, what f-stop and shutter speed and ISO I'm shooting at, and also to make a decision of, am I going to be an observer or am I going to be a participant in that moment? So an observer would stand back and go, I'm going to watch what's unfolding, and I'm just going to let it be. And an example would be, you know, and lots of my couples, my brides and my grooms, they have family members that aren't able to attend the wedding. Maybe they're terminally ill, or maybe they recently have passed away. And that's an emotional moment when they were expecting someone to be there and they're not, or they receive a gift from that person and they're not there. I had a bride that had, her father had passed away, and he wrote her a note to open on her wedding day. And in that moment, it's not my responsibility to jump in and go, hey, let's scoot you over into this good light. And okay, look over. No. Like, that is a pure moment. And I'm at the mercy of that moment to go, this is sacred. And I just get to, it's a gift to me. And I get to just be an observer in that moment. And then there's moments like the participant moment where, okay, you've got a family of 34 and we want a family photo. I'm not gonna sit. I mean, I'll shoot B-rolls and I'll shoot doc style and shoot the moment because I think it's hilarious watching everyone trying to find their place. I will pick up my camera and shoot that moment.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, sir, can you please turn in? You know.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Look at me.
Or turn around and actually look at me instead of you know. So there's that balance, and that's what I love about wedding photography is you get to plan, but you also don't have to plan for it to be beautiful. And weddings are so expressive. they're beautiful, beautiful celebrations where there's this kind of melting pot of emotion. You've got joy. Often, like I mentioned, you have grief, you have, you know, beauty, you have, texture and light and form and shape and, I don't know. They're beautiful celebrations. Yeah. So I love them for that reason. And portraits and commercial work are less that. And portraits, I would say, defining portraits would be outside of weddings, like a senior portrait or a family portrait. And a lot of my work is very hands-off when it comes to portraits because I want the moment. I want the real. Because at the end of the day, like, that's what we're going to remember and that's what we want to remember.
Yeah.
And having kids has changed that too for me.
True.
As I have, as my family grows, I'm like, I want to remember who they were, actually. I don't really care that they're smiling, you know, perfectly posed, looking at the camera. I want them.
Yeah.
You know.
Was there someone that has influenced your style so far? Or, you know, who would you say are some of the people that have influenced your work or, you know, photographers that you look up to?
Oh man, good question. That's a really good question. I would say, you know, some classic photographers, Arnold Newman, amazing portrait photographer, Richard Avedon, of course. You know, he was blended fashion and high fashion and fine art and kind of at the intersection of that in the 70s and the 80s. As far as like wedding work, it's dozens There's and dozens because I pick what I like. I like that frame from that photographer, or they shoot details really well, or that photographer, they can't shoot details to save their life, but wow, look at that. Look at those documentary style, you know, moments they're able to capture. But yeah, I often reference photographers of the past to inform my work of the future. And I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but we're all ripping each other off. We're just reinventing the same thing.
Yeah.
But what makes it unique is that you're injecting your voice into a previous idea oftentimes. And the idea doesn't even have to be a photo. It can be the living world around you, right? You can look at, and I often will just be inspired by the way light hits something or, wow, look at the texture of that plant. That's fascinating. And just kind of log it away. And you kind of just build up this kind of catalog of inspiration in the world around you. And somehow, in all that, it coalesces and it kind of comes out in at least for me, into my wedding work.
Awesome.
That's a good question.
You touched on shooting commercial. How did you get your foot in the door as far as commercial? Because that's a whole nother beast, shooting commercial. You have to look for clients. And constant, it's like a hustle pretty much to
it
get
totally is.
Commercial work. How did you get started in that?
Yeah, so probably 3 or 4 years ago, I kind of hit this place in my career where I didn't know if weddings was where I wanted to be forever. You know, I absolutely wanted to shoot weddings. There's no question. But did it need to be 100% of my work?
Yeah.
Or could I find inspiration in commercial work? And so I started kind of moving away from weddings, not fully, but maybe 20% of my time and just energy that I was spending. And really the way that you attract future clients is you post what you want to shoot. And that's true for weddings too. What I want to shoot and who I want to shoot for is what I'm posting, period. And I'm not posting anything that doesn't align with my future goals. And so with commercial work, I just started kind of posting, hey, I'll shoot stuff in the studio just on my own time. Like I shot like a Toyota concept and I was like, okay, I want to shoot for Toyota eventually. That'd be great. Like I drive a Toyota and I love their brand and believe in them as a company, right? So I shot a truck and And then the next one was I wanted to shoot some lifestyle imagery for, I love like gadgets and, you know, how tech kind of intersects with function. And so I just shot some proof of concept and that eventually led to a client kind of seeing that in a roundabout way. And they reached out and, you've done this work for, you know, this brand before. Like, okay. Yeah. No, but I didn't, it wasn't formal, but like, here's what I can do. And, okay. Let's give it a shot. And then you just kind of, you take it a day at a time. You learn, like I'm a big believer that you you're not going to know everything when you start. You just have to start. That's the hardest part, is getting started.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. And also, yeah, fake it till you make it, and then just be honest. Like, hey, this is my first time shooting. Like, I did a big shoot for a D2C kind of brand in North Dallas, and one of my first shoots with them was like, hey, I've never shot this type of product before. We're just going to have to figure it out. And as long as you set those expectations and you're up front, like,
yeah,
no problem. But yeah. And I had to go back to the drawing board a few times. Like, this is a cylinder that's, you know, reflective on all sides. How do I shoot? And I don't know. And so I'm looking online and I'm watching YouTube videos and I'm asking peers in my industry, have you shot something like this? And they kind of shot a version of it. So then you try and you fail and you figure it out, you know? And that's, so to answer your question, I shot for companies, probably commercial work 4 or 5 years ago. Really, it was like 5 years ago. And then the more that I started shooting commercial work, I realized it doesn't have the same level of heart. Yeah. Now, it can be amazing work and move the ball down the field for great, amazing companies.
Yeah.
But I was missed. There was something missing about it. There was this, like I talked about with weddings, the observer and participant, and the kind of melting pot of emotion. I wasn't getting that in commercial work. It was very black and white. It was non-emotional. It was, you got the shot or you didn't get the shot.
Yeah.
And it also didn't have the pressure of a wedding day, which I love the pressure. I love it. I thrive in that pressure. I love living in that tension of what's next. You know, you have probably 3 seconds to decide how you're going to shoot this. Mm-hmm. And you shoot your shot and you see if you did it right or not, and the wedding's moving forward. You don't have time to go back, and so let's reshoot that first kiss. No, it's moving. So keep on going, and that's the challenge of weddings. And I love the challenge. In commercial work, I found that I would be shooting something in the studio, and we'd shoot it, and then we'd move it half an inch, and then we'd shoot it again, and then let's change this light. And it's just like, oh man, I want more out of my work, and I want my voice to be infused. And commercial work was like, we want the shot to look like this. Mm-hmm. It can't look anything but this. And so again, there's nothing wrong with commercial work. It is a great way to make a living. And but I was like, I'm going to just double down on weddings. This is what I believe in. And it came down to really fundamentally, what do I believe about photography and what it means to me? And so anyways, that's when I doubled down and I stayed in weddings, and that's where I've been.
I feel like with commercial work, it's, I guess one of the things that limits you is the brand. Coming in as like a hired contractor, I guess, they tell you what they want, and sometimes you don't even get input. They're just like, they look at you as like a person that hits a button to get the frame.
Right.
I feel like that's a downfall of it. So
yeah,
I guess the really challenging part as an artist, because at the end of the day, you're an artist, is
that's right.
How do they look at your vision? How do you find clients that allow you, give you the freedom, I guess, to be the artist that you are?
That's a great question. Yeah. And I don't know if it was a question. It sounded like a question. Yeah. I'll answer it because I think it's a good thought. In wedding photography specifically, but more so, you could go outside wedding photography and apply this. But in wedding photography specifically, you have to be willing to take the risk that if you put yourself out there and no one likes what you're putting out there, you may never get hired.
Yeah.
And that's the risk. And you have to decide, do I want this to be an expression of my voice? Are people hiring me, like you said, as an artist? Mm-hmm. Or are they hiring me to click a shutter? Because there's dozens of wedding photographers out there that are making a great living, and they're kind people. But their photography looks the exact same from wedding to wedding. It's the exact same pose. It's the exact same focal length. It's the exact same color. It's the exact same venues. It's the exact same church. It's all the same. And there's nothing wrong. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's how they've set their business up, is to have this kind of predictive formula where you're cranking out the next thing that looks the same. And I just decided, and I feel deeply like in my on a molecular level, that's not how I wanted to run my wedding photography business. I wanted them to come to me and to almost commission me as an artist to go, okay, I don't know what you're going to create. Like, I know you're going to get these classic shots of like me and my mom and me and my grandma, and those are going to be formal, but everything else, you're an artist, go do your thing. And so I've been so thankful. My clients are the most amazing clients, and they come to me. And sometimes in a roundabout way, sometimes I know them, sometimes I have never interacted with them before, and most of them are, a lot of them are cross country. Like, I'll have clients in New York that'll hire me, or clients in the West Coast, and they'll hire me to come out and shoot their wedding, and they just happen to hear about me through a planner, or, you know, through someone else in the industry, and then I'll fly out, and it's beautiful what happens because I build relationships with these people,
right.
And then they're my friends, and yeah. I like to embed myself into the wedding weekend and be a part of the whole weekend. So I arrive on a Thursday, and you know, grab drinks with them on Thursday night, and their whole mm-hmm. wedding party's there, and it's a destination wedding, and you get to know these people, and then Friday's the rehearsal dinner, and Saturday's the wedding, and then yeah. Sunday you say bye, and you're sad to leave, but I mean, I'm excited to come home and see my family because my wife is amazing, and she holds down the fort when I'm gone for these long weekends. But yeah, man, you have to be willing to put yourself out there and go, okay, if you want to be an artist, if you want to be a wedding artist, and there's risk there, and there's seasons where you don't get inquiries, and you go, okay, you know, do I really trust God to provide for me, and like, is that something that I am believing in, and yeah, I had like a season and recently just like where I didn't get a good inquiry for like 4 months. And that was earlier in 2022. And I'm like, no, trust the process. Like, you're right where you're supposed to be. And that doesn't scare me anymore because I know that I want the right clients hiring me, not just the client that's going to pay my rate. I want the ones that believe in the work. So
cool. I want to transition now to the dark room for a little bit. You started 2018, was that around the time?
Yeah, 2018 was the vision.
Yeah, the vision.
2019 was the execution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. How did that idea come to be and how has it, you know, evolved?
That's awesome. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, the dark room, was probably one of Fort Worth, maybe if not the first, but Fort Worth's first kind of natural light rent by the hour or by the day studio. Mm-hmm. So the vision was I had seen some other studios in Dallas do it, and another studio in Houston by one of my good friends, Joseph West, who's a wedding photographer in Houston, operated a natural light studio. And so I'd seen this vision in this business model for a natural light studio that I could kind of, you know, fill with backgrounds that rolled on wheels and some props and cool furniture that, for the photographer that was looking to shoot like a lifestyle session, like headshots for a realtor, they could show up at my studio and they could have access to all these lifestyle, natural light kind of props. And then they made their shoot easier for them. And so I had that vision and Fort Worth didn't really offer it. So I was like, why not? Let's go for it. So I launched in 2019 and I had a location off of South Main, which was awesome.
I love that one.
It was a cool one. And then as I entered into that market of renting out a space and needing to be the one to let people in and out sometimes and cleaning up glitter after someone didn't read the big sign that says no glitter and, you know, just getting into the weeds and getting your hands really messy with, you know, interacting with people and serving people. Mm-hmm. I decided to move my space over closer to my house, but also to a space that would be more conducive for a higher end clientele. So I moved it over here to, you know, off 8th, and it served the community really well. Like, we had it, you know, after I moved out in 2019 off of South Main, we opened really like late. We were only in there less than a year, and then we moved over here and it was awesome. So I had two rooms, or I expanded, and then I, you know, compressed, and it was great, man. It was so much fun getting to meet the community in Fort Worth, and even larger than Fort Worth. I would have people that would drive in, even fly in, like their clients were in Fort Worth.
Wow.
But you know, ex client would rendezvous in Fort Worth. So it was like a big tech company.
Mm-hmm.
Needed a space for 4 days and they flew in from California and then they flew the photographer in from New York and they rendezvoused at my studio and we had set all this up before and we got to just host them and provide a space that would work really well for their campaign. So I did that for, you know, almost 4 years. I ran the studio and it just became at the point where I was shooting weddings and I was traveling all over the country and the world to shoot these weddings. Mm-hmm. And then I was also shooting commercial work and it was the third thing down on my list. And it wasn't getting the attention that I could give it or that it deserved, mm-hmm. and nor the margin. if you want to start a natural light studio, email yeah. me or DM me and we'll talk about the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
But it can be a really difficult business. And but it was worth it during that season. And it yeah. helped me really have the space to shoot that commercial work.
Yeah.
And I could shoot it whenever I wanted. I just block off the calendar and shoot my work and yeah. unblock it and let people rent it out. And it was really convenient. But it was a season, and I'm out of that now. And I just have a studio for myself personally now. I don't rent it out to anyone anymore, and it's really nice to just have it. And yeah,
I want to touch on, you know, you've mentioned the wedding industry. You've been in it a while. Did you know when COVID hit? How did that? Did it change for you at all? Did it have an effect on the wedding industry? And how has it? You know, is it back to normal now, or how would you say COVID pretty much affected your business?
COVID obliterated the wedding industry. Now, thankfully, Texas is a fairly insulated market because I had clients of mine that were still getting married a couple months after the pandemic hit the States.
Yeah. And
they found ways around it, and we made those celebrations happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really was dependent on kind of what market you were in within the wedding industry, mm-hmm. how hard you were hit. In large part, you can imagine that the more expensive wedding that you plan, the larger those deposits were.
Yeah.
And the harder it was to, if I only shoot 7 weddings a year or 10 weddings a year, moving 6 of those is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Right? But for there's wedding photographers out there that shoot 40 weddings a year and they had, you know, 15 move. Okay. Well, that's, you know, not as, I don't know, everyone was affected differently, but it really affected our industry. But the cool thing is that we really banded together. Like I had a group of about 10 photographers that we stayed in contact through COVID, and we said, okay, how are you handling this? And how are we going to word our force majeure in our contract for future, you know, clients? And we were able to really band together and kind of have an alliance in a way, for the Dallas market at least. But it was tough, man. Like I had, probably like, and not as many as a lot of other photographers. I came out largely unscathed, but like 6 reschedules and 1 cancellation.
Wow.
So, but thankfully that was at the height of my commercial work. Like
okay.
I was putting my foot on the gas. I mean, all in on commercial work. So that was helpful.
Helped you, yeah.
To really, offset some of those losses. And but yeah, my clients were so kind through all of it, and were willing to work with me, and I was mm-hmm. willing to work with them. And that's the thing: if there's a relationship there, there's just give and take. And I'm willing to bend over backwards for my clients because they trust me,
mm-hmm.
and because I believe in them, and like I want to serve them, yeah. and so I'll do whatever I can do reasonably to create a frictionless experience for them, and
yeah.
provide the level of care and detail that I would want to be treated with if it was my wedding, mm-hmm. right?
Are things back to normal now, or
largely back to normal. You know, like 2021, you know, the backlog, once all the 2020s canceled,
mm-hmm.
if you incurred like 20 cancellations and all your 2020s moved to 2021, well, my commodity that I'm selling is a date.
Yeah.
I'm shooting photos. That's what I'm delivering.
Right.
But I only have a limited number of SKUs that I can sell, and that is a Saturday.
Yeah.
And so for those in the industry that had 20 cancellations or 40 cancellations, that they were all postponements.
Yeah.
Well, now 2021 doesn't, at that price point, like all your dates are filled, or 60% of your dates are filled. And so you're telling brides no, that I'm not available, and everyone else is telling brides no. So then brides are waiting a year. They're waiting to 2022 to get married.
Yeah.
And then it
pushes back.
Yeah. So it's tapering off. But largely I haven't felt that, because of the market I'm in. I just shoot, I do 15 weddings a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a low volume, high touch business, and that I'm very grateful that I really started moving that direction 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So like I guess you've just had to pivot, learn to move with the market.
Move with the market. Yeah. move the market, and then also like take risks. Like I raised my rates during COVID.
Oh, that's always good.
I wasn't trying to like make money during COVID.
Yeah.
I was like, this is an opportunity for me to double down on my process.
Yeah.
And to make better work, because I'm going to come out of the other side of COVID and everyone's going to have fought for the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opportunity to up level my brand in COVID. So, and a lot of my peers did the same. So
just gave you an opportunity to fine tune what it is.
Fine tune. Yeah. Yeah. That's iterate, good. Iterate.
Yeah. Looking into the future, where do you see your photography going with your work and your business?
Well, I think I'll hit on like what we talked about on the front end of this podcast is just I want to fine tune my voice. Like that's growing in me, and it's in a way it's blooming right now. Like it hasn't been dormant, but my family in large part has shaped how I see the world. As my kids, I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then another baby boy due in June.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I see them is starting to impact my work, because I'm starting to see my kids more how my clients' parents see them on their wedding day. Like you've watched this child grow up, and they've largely been unaware of what you've observed.
Yeah.
And so what I'm capturing on a wedding day is shifting in its meaning. And because of that, I'm actually becoming more emotionally involved in my weddings. Like I care more, if that's even possible, because I've cared so much for 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah.
And so where it's going is studying my clients more, caring more about, planning more about the, you know, going into a wedding weekend that's a destination wedding. I'll arrive even a day earlier and pre-scout locations and look at the light and where it's going to hit during that time of day, which I've done for years. But how do I get even more meticulous and granular and have more control over my process?
Yeah.
So that when someone shows up, it looks so easy, because you're not paying for the time, you're paying for the years, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. You're paying for my attention and my care that I focused in on almost every day for 10 years. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
You know? And so what you can expect next is just a deeper attention, more focus.
Mm-hmm.
And the clients that I have are amazing. Like they just continue to awe me. Like they're just the kindest, most thoughtful people, and they care about each other. They care about their guests. They care about the experience they're providing their guests. And I will say, you asked me how COVID has changed the industry. A big way that it's changed the industry is that a lot of my clients are lowering their guest count, and they're focusing more on experiences, because everyone being at home made them realize who is really important, and inviting 400 people and you don't really know 200 of them.
Yeah.
You can take that same budget and allocate it for 150 guests and it goes way farther.
Yeah.
And those guests receive an experience. And so COVID has been, I think it's as devastating as it was to our world. Like it's been a really refreshing reset to like the types of weddings that I'm capturing, because they're more experience based, and like the guests are receiving a more holistic picture of like who the couple is and what their value system is. And that's been really special. So I'm looking forward to capturing more experiences, honestly, like more destination work, and more multi-day celebrations. Like I've pushed for that really hard, to be a part of the whole wedding weekend, not just to show up for 8 hours and punch a ticket. Like I want to be there from Thursday or Friday to Sunday. I want to be all in, because I shoot such a select few, and I want to capture their story holistically, not just a little fraction of it.
Right.
And build relationships on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Grant, how can people stay up to date with your work and what you do?
On Instagram, of course, is where I show a lot of my work, at Grant Daniels. My wedding site is grantdanielsphotography.com. My commercial site is grantdaniels.com. And they all link to each other. So find one of them and you'll find the other two. I say this constantly to other photographers, but I love mentoring. And so, I'll just say, if you're a photographer and you want to be mentored, or you want a resource, reach out, and I'd be glad to talk about it or point you in the direction of someone who would help you on your journey to figuring this thing out of art and business together. You know?
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for sharing your journey and insight into the wedding industry. So
thanks, man. So grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.